Well, good morning again. Now, I didn't introduce myself last time I was up here, so my name's Nathan. I'm the pastor here at Pakenham Baptist, and as I said, it's just our privilege to have you here today, and what a privilege that was, right? Just wonderful to see, and encourage each one of those folks that got baptised today. We're going to have a special morning tea afterwards, and we invite you all to stay and just enjoy some fellowship together. With that in mind, to encourage those who have been baptised. I just want to give us all a bit of an encouragement this morning, especially for those who have been baptised, and I'm going to read from 2 Timothy chapter 2. So let's read first from God's Word. It's going to be up on the screen for you to follow along with. And let me just make a couple of points from this particular text. 2 Timothy chapter 2, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains, as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." The history and background of Paul writing this letter, it's the fact that, as we see in the text, he was suffering and bound in prison. He was under chains and his death was imminent. He had served for a number of years evangelizing what we know as Europe. Moved out from Jerusalem up into modern-day Turkey, and now he's in Rome. And through those years, God used him in a mighty way to proclaim the good news of Christ. And along the way, a young man by the name of Timothy got converted under the ministry of Paul. We all know that Paul didn't convert him, right? It's the Spirit of God that opened up his heart, and Paul was just the vessel and the mouthpiece for God. And Timothy was converted, and he went along with Paul on some of his missionary journeys and became a close associate. We would call it modern day mentorship. Paul was a mentor to Timothy. A more biblical term is he was a disciple of Christ, and Paul was modeling to him discipleship, teaching him, taking him under his wing, explaining to him the things of the Lord, walking with him, experiencing the triumphs and experiencing the tragedies. And that in itself is a great model for all of us who follow Christ, as the Word of God tells us to make disciples, and we make disciples by baptizing, by teaching, and that's what Paul did. And in pretty much his final few words before he's executed, before he loses his head, he encourages his younger brother, Timothy. And the first appeal that he gives to Timothy Timothy, I want you to be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The seasoned man of God knew the power to ministry was an ongoing relationship with Christ and an ongoing dose of grace. I don't know, if I was penning this, maybe I would have written something quite different. You know, Timothy, make sure you attend church, make sure you go to life group. Make sure you help out the widows and the those that can't help themselves. But his final plea was no, be strengthened in the grace of Christ. Because Paul knew that when you are strengthened in the grace of Christ, all those other things take care of themselves. The very grace of Christ is what saves us. For by grace you are saved through faith as a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He said, not only be strengthened by God's grace, and that's a daily pursuit, it's an ongoing pursuit. It's an ongoing work of the Spirit through the Word of God. That's how we're strengthened by God's grace, is through the revealed truth that comes through to us in His Word. So if you want to be strengthened in God's grace, have yourself a daily reading plan, have yourself a daily study plan, meet with other believers. Encourage one another in the things of the Lord. How beautiful it is when we encourage one another in the things of the Lord. And that's not just in the triumphs, it's also in the tragedies. And not only that, what is instructed to dear Timothy here is when you are strengthened in the grace of Christ, you'll naturally want to give that to others. You'll naturally want to entrust what you have received through God's Spirit to other faithful people. Why? So they also can teach others. You see how the cycle of discipleship works? If you really want to know what a disciple of Jesus is, we are all disciples because we are learning about Christ. Right? We've all got our L plates on. And we need others, and we need God's Spirit, and we need God's Word to move us to be transformed day by day into the image of Christ. Until one day, we'll stand before the throne of God. One day we will be with the redeemed. Revelation 4 gives us a wonderful picture of that. And you see in Revelation 4 the picture of the completed work, the completed transformation. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings and full of eyes all around and within, in the day and night they never cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And we see over in chapter 5, verse 11, then I looked and I heard around the throne the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels numbering myriads of myriads and thousands and thousands. saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." What a picture of what one day it's going to be like. As a transformed people around the throne. Anyway, that's the heart that Paul has for Timothy in these verses in 2 Timothy 2. What you've heard from me, what God's grace is doing in you, make sure you pass it on to others. He had a special commission because he was passing on to other leaders. You and I, we can pass on what we learn, what we grow in Christ with, to others. By simply communicating, talking, praying with, testifying to the fact that Christ is our all in all. And then Paul goes on and he gives three examples of what it means to be a good follower of Christ. He uses a soldier, he uses an athlete, and he uses a hard-working farmer. He prefaces that by stating that our fellowship of Christ will be like a suffering soldier. Verse 3, sharing the sufferings as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. And he talks about what a good soldier does. A good soldier is always focused on the mission. In these verses, he said, a good soldier will be looking at the mission and not at the civilian affairs that are around about him. Because when a good soldier looks at the mission, he's going to please his commanding officer. He's going to please the one who's enlisted him. That's the first picture he gives. The second picture he gives is an athlete. This athlete is ethical, full of integrity, and he competes according to the rules. And when he does, he'll be crowned accordingly when he competes according to the parameters and the rules set out in that competition. And thirdly, he uses this hard-working farmer and says, well, the farmer really should enjoy the shares of the first fruits, the first crop that comes. And I thought about farming because I grew up on an apple orchard, and I thought about the patience that a farmer needs. And I also thought about the reality, the stark reality, that as a farmer, yes, you work hard, but really, the result of the crop is out of your hands. It really is. You think about if you're a sheep farmer. If you're a sheep farmer, how well would you want your ewes lambing? You'd want triplets, right? You want every lamb, every ewe to have triplets, because that would be incredibly good for your bank balance, incredibly good for the prosperity of your farm. Does that happen? No. What is produced is, in many ways, an act of God. Yeah, you care for your sheep, you tend for your sheep, you provide them pasture, you provide them food, you drench them, you do whatever you do to keep them healthy and fit. But their yield, their lambing, really sometimes out of your hands. And I think that's what he's getting to a little bit here with the picture of a hard-working farmer. That a hard-working farmer works hard, but he works by faith. That there will be a good outcome for his toil. The same for you and I as we share the gospel. That's the domain of disciples of Jesus, right? As you make disciples, part of the part of being a disciple maker is to share about the love of Christ. But we do that by faith. We don't know the results. But the key thing is we don't stop sharing. The key thing is we're like that good soldier who is focused on the mission. Do you often ask yourself that question, why you're placed here on this earth? I hope you do. Because God's word clearly outlines it. We're here to give God glory. And we give God glory by sharing about the only way of salvation through Christ. So Timothy gives Paul gives those three examples to Timothy. And then just to make sure he gets it, he bookends this passage. He starts with the grace of God and he finishes with the grace of God. He said in verse 8, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, has preached to you in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. You can see the heart of Paul here, right? As he pours out his final words, he says, above all, remember the Messiah, the offspring of David, the true David, the one that's risen from the dead. And he is why I'm in prison suffering. He's the cause that I'm here to endure everything for those he will save. Here's why I'm bound with chains as a criminal. But even though I'm bound, even though I'm constrained, the word of God is not constrained. Isn't that a wonderful testimony? And I hope that that's your testimony, that the word of God is not constrained in your conversations with your friends, with your family, with your co-workers, your fellow retirees, whoever your circle of influence may be, that you realize that the word of God is not bound. It's the one thing that gives life, eternal life. It's not constrained by our circumstances. It's not constrained by what the world is trying to do to us and in limiting our voice in the public square. It's not constrained by corrupt laws. The word of God is not bound because it is truth and is life. And as every disciple and follower of Jesus should understand, we should be proclaiming that word as obedient disciples of Jesus. It is a solemn charge. It's a life-giving charge. And it's a charge that is only realized through and in the power of the grace of God. And that's the encouraging thing, right? It's God's grace that enables us. It's God's grace that transforms us. It's God's grace that saves us. God's grace is superabounding. So I'd ask you this week just to meditate and read through these verses. And cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, make me a good soldier. Make me an athlete who is aligned to your word. Give me the faith of a hard-working farmer to proclaim the risen Christ, to realize that your word is boundless, is eternal, it brings life. And enable me to get off the fence and serve you by telling others about the love of Christ.